Yeah. All right. So let me continue a little bit with, I guess, the tradition of this session being dominated partly by Peter's former and current students. All right. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about some of the work that a master's student of mine has done over the last couple of years, looking at two negative regulators of cell production, KRP4 and KRP5. I'll kind of expand a little bit about what those genes are in a few minutes. But before we get into that, you know, fruit growth is primarily mediated by two different processes, cell production and expansion. And cell production is something that, it's pretty extensive, very rapid during the early few weeks following pollination and fertilization. The first few weeks after full bloom is when you actually see quite a bit of an increase in cell number. And at about 20 to 28 days or so after bloom is when you start seeing a transition away from cell production. And after that, you don't see a whole lot of an increase in cell number for the rest of fruit development. Cell expansion, on the other hand, is something that's really taking place pretty much all through fruit development. Even though you cannot really see it very clearly in that green part of the box, there is quite a bit of an increase in cell size that occurs during that period. And there's a very significant part of expansion that also takes place during later stages of fruit development. Cell size, typically increases by anywhere between 1500 to about 2000 fold during the entire fruit development period. We've been kind of very interested in trying to understand, how it is that cell production and expansion are regulated, and kind of trying to understand, what sort of genes are involved in regulating this process, with the hope of being able to better understand how fruit growth in turn is regulated by these processes. One of the things that we've been concentrating on is in terms of understanding the regulation of cell production itself. And cell production is very tightly regulated by the cell cycle itself. And some of you may already know this, but just to kind of refresh your memory, the cell cycle typically has four different phases. The G1 phase, which is the first gap phase. This is the phase during which most of the cell growth occurs, and some decisions regarding the progression through the rest of the cell cycle are made during this point. The S phase is where you have the DNA synthesis that's taking place. And that's followed by the G2 phase, which is again a gap phase. And during this time is when any errors in DNA synthesis are corrected, and further decisions regarding progression through the cell cycle are made. And eventually, the cell divides within the M phase or the mitotic phase, and that results in the formation of daughter cells, which can either re-enter the cell cycle at G1, or they can exit the cell cycle and kind of be in G0, or in some special situations they can kind of skip. They can re-enter, but eventually skip the entire process of division itself, and that leads to end of reduplication. Now, cell production or the cell cycle itself is controlled by a very complex set of factors, as you can see pretty well here. But the two main components of this are cyclins and cyclin-dependent kinases, and these proteins act together to allow the progression of the cell through the different phases of the cell cycle. Now, in addition to these two factors, there are a variety of other proteins which regulate different aspects of the cell cycle. And the one that I'm going to be talking about a little more today are the ones that I've circled down below, the ones which are referred to as the KIP-related proteins, the KIP-related proteins, or the KRPs. Now, these are thought to bind to cyclin and cyclin-dependent complexes, and in doing so, they can inhibit the activity of those proteins, and as such, they can act as negative regulators of progression through the cell cycle. Therefore, they can negatively regulate cell production and thereby impact organ growth. In Arabidopsis, the cell cycle has more than 80 different components, probably a little over 100, in fact. In Apple, we have been able to identify about 71 genes, and of those, we were actually able to find five different KIP-related proteins or KRPs. And among those, we were particularly interested in two of them, KRP4 and KRP5, which share quite a bit of identity. They are about 75% identical. And these proteins also share about 50% identity with the Arabidopsis KRP2. And, it does not sound like much of an identity there, but chipylated proteins generally are pretty variable, especially at their N-terminal regions, they tend to be exceptionally variable. The more important thing is that there are certain motifs which seem to be pretty well conserved, and those are definitely present within the apple KRP4 and KRP5. Now, among these five KRPs, as I said, you know, KRP4 and 5 are the ones which we were really interested in, and there are some reasons for that. A lot of the initial studies that we did, we started looking at the expression of these genes during different stages of fruit development, for example, in different cultivars. We did this in Golden Delicious, we have looked at it in Gala and so on. And interestingly, what we observe is that during this period of transition from cell production to expansion, you know, roughly around 20 days after bloom, 20 to 25 days after bloom, is when we start seeing a steady increase in the expression of these genes. And it kind of keeps increasing until mid-fruit development. After that, it starts going down. And what this basically suggests is that these genes may be somehow coordinating the exit from the cell production phase, cell production period during fruit development. In addition to that, you know, in situations where you basically have a reduction in cell production, for example, as a result of flowers not being pollinated, what we observe is that both these genes, KRP4 and 5, you know, typically show a very dramatic increase in their expression. And in addition to that, even in situations where fruit growth may be reduced as a result of shading, there's a reduction in cell production even in those cases, and again we find that the expression of these genes, KRP4 and KRP5, is pretty significantly increased by 3 to 4-fold. And what this basically suggests is that, you know, this is kind of indirect evidence suggesting that these genes may be negatively affecting the cell production process and thereby, you know, allowing the regulation of fruit growth. We kind of, you know, one of the objectives that we had with this study was to basically test this out a little further and see if we can determine if KRP4 and KRP5 are in fact, you know, negative regulators of cell production and organ growth. And in addition to that, we were interested in identifying polymorphisms within the sequences of these genes, you know, across apple genotypes. To test the first objective, what we basically did was that we obtained the cDNA sequences of KRP4 and 5 from Gala. We cloned it into expression vectors, and we were essentially using the cauliflower mosaic virus 35S promoter to drive the expression of these genes, and we transformed Arabidopsis using these constructs. In addition to that, we also generated transgenic clients which overexpressed the Arabidopsis KRP2 gene. And the reason why we did this is for, because KRP2 was the one which the apple KRPs, KRP4 and 5, were the closest to. And we wanted to use this overexpression lines as a means of comparison to really test if the effects that we are seeing with the expression of the apple KRPs are similar to the expression or similar to the effects of the overexpression of the Arabidopsis KRP2 itself. And what we basically found was that in case of the Arabidopsis KRP2 overexpression, one of the there were several leaf-related morphological differences. One of the important ones was that there was a reduction in leaf size, and very importantly, there was an increase in the extent of leaf serration, something that you can see on the top leaf very clearly in this particular picture. And this is something that has been demonstrated in other kinds of experiments where KRPs have been overexpressed, including KRP2 overexpression, Arabidopsis KRP2 overexpression, as well as overexpression of other KRPs such as KRP6 as well as 7. When we looked at how it is that KRP4 and 5 from apple performed, again we see that there was a reduction in leaf size. We also noticed that there was a very significant alteration of leaf morphology, primarily in terms of having enhanced leaf serration. Again, something that has, as I mentioned previously, been seen with Arabidopsis KRP overexpressions. To some extent, the extent or the manifestation of the leaf morphology phenotypes was dependent on the level of the expression of the KRPs itself. And you can, if you look at the central panel here and let's say the second one from the bottom, you kind of with KRP4, you see that, you know, there's very high expression, and as a result of that there is a very strong reduction in leaf size and a very significant increase in the extent of serration. So what this basically suggests is that, you know, KRP4 and 5, you know, when expressed in Arabidopsis, they're able to enhance this leaf serration phenotype. And what is very likely happening is that they are basically downregulating the cell production process, especially at the leaf margins, and that seems to be increasing the extent of leaf serration that you're seeing. And this is something that, as I said, you know, has been shown previously with Arabidopsis KRP2 overexpression, as well as other KRPs. And what we speculate at this point, and with based on the evidence that we have so far, is that KRP4 and 5 from Apple are probably doing something very similar in terms of negatively regulating cell production during fruit growth in Apple as well. We are in the process of actually quantifying the direct effect of these expression on cell production aspects itself. Switching a little bit, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the work that we have done in terms of identifying polymorphisms in these two genes across Apple genotypes. And to do this, we basically identified a bunch of different genotypes from the USDA germplasm collection in New York, and some of the genotypes from our orchards as well. We essentially selected fruit sizes or fruits genotypes which had fruit size ranging from about 30 to 100 millimeters in fruit diameter, and essentially sequenced KRP4 and 5 from these genotypes. We sequenced KRP4 from about 59 genotypes, and in addition to that, we also did probably another 10 to 15 of them. KRP5, we did that from about 38 genotypes, and with KRP4, we found multiple polymorphisms, including certain deletions and insertions, primarily within the introns. But more importantly, we were able to identify about 7 single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs, which were present within the coding region, and these were causing missense variations. They were basically able to, they were basically altering the amino acids itself. In case of KRP5, we just found one of these SNPs which was basically affecting the amino acids. Very interestingly, what we saw was that there was a set of polymorphisms in KRP4 which basically resulted, one, in the conversion of a serine at position 55 to a phenylalanine, and another one which was basically converting another SNP which was basically resulting in a change from a glutamate to an alanine. And this was actually within a context where the serine would be potentially phosphorylated, and we did run some programs which suggested that there was a very high probability that serine would actually be phosphorylated. And phosphorylation has actually been shown to be a very important mechanism as far as regulation of KRPs are concerned, in human systems, in mouse systems, in yeast, even in Arabidopsis, and very recently KRP6 and 7 have been shown in Arabidopsis have been shown to be regulated by this. Now, in addition to that, alteration of serine phosphorylation in a very similar context in yeast has been shown to affect the activity of the protein, and thereby it seems to affect the balance between cell production and expansion. Interestingly, what we see is that these changes of, you know, S55 to an F and E58 to an A are present within genotypes which display a small fruit size phenotype. So what we are hypothesizing at this point is that this sort of a loss of a serine phosphorylation site may be somehow affecting either KRP4 stability or activity, and thereby it might be affecting cell production, resulting in a small fruit size phenotype. We are kind of still very interested in following this up and actually testing this hypothesis. KRP5, on the other hand, showed very little variation as far as protein sequence is concerned. We did not see much of much in terms of variations there. So in conclusions, KRP4 and KRP5 seem to be functioning as negative regulators of cell production and thereby affecting organ growth, and there may be a potential serine phosphorylation variation in the KRP4 which may result in potentially some effect on cell production activity, as well as may affect fruit size, so to speak. With that, I wanted to acknowledge Lisa, who was the master student who actually did most of this work. And I'd be happy to take any questions if we have time.
All the time.
All right.
Well, let's thank Anish.